Let's talk a little bit about free radicals just for a second, because there's so much coming out now about free radicals might be the cause of cancer. You know, free radicals are the new focus. They've been there for some time, and everybody's been told, take antioxidants in mass. And I know you agree with taking the antioxidants, but I guess for a different reason. I guess the real problem is acid?
Well, the reason I agree with antioxidants like vitamin A and E and is that they act as antacids. They neutralize acids, but it's just not taking any particular antioxidants to neutralize or buffer these acids, but it's the quality, it's the size of these particles so that they're transdermal, so they can immediately go into the blood and the lymph and help to neutralize these acids. So you lose a lot through digestion, through the colloidal form, which I perceive as the best form, going right into the fluids of the body, helping to neutralize these acids.
That's great. So that's where you get that 90 or 100%, I don't know if it's 100, but 90% absorption or somewhere in that range, because the body's able to get it directly because it's so small, goes right into the bloodstream. Is that
exactly
correct? That makes sense. Let's talk a little bit about one final thing, which is the building of muscle. You know, a lot of people say, okay, you're going to become vegetarian, or you're going to, maybe not vegetarian, you're vegetarian and some fish. Gosh, you know, how am I going to build any muscle? You know, I got to have some protein here.
All right.
Maybe you can address that for us.
Well, most of the protein that is created from within our bodies rather than from without.
And it's recycled.
It's recycled as well. So there are protein pools which create about 70% of these structures. But when you think of the strongest animals again in the world, where do they get their protein? They get it from with their heads to the grass, eating the grass, which contain all the proteins. Wheatgrass, barley grass, kamut grass, which are in the supergreens, contain all the proteins or the subcellular units that make up all proteins. So what precedes those protein complexes are those little tiny beans that organize themselves into protein complexes.
Right.
So you can get that all from green foods. In fact, we talked about the broccoli being about 47% protein.
Right.
A higher content of protein than beef, chicken, turkey, pork, or even fish, without all the acid residues which compromise the internal terrain. So here you're eating alkalizing foods, getting the subunits to build all the proteins the body needs, and that's what builds strong muscles. When you build the blood, you build healthy cells that can also then change into healthy muscle cells.
Because you can actually, again, coming back to this distinction of understanding the difference between health and fitness, you can be very, very fit. You can build muscles, you describe, and have that muscle be based on waste cells or based on toxicity within the system, and you get this bulk, but you don't have health. Or you could build that same bulk, but you do it by building the blood itself. So you have healthy, vibrant cells, and those muscles are not just looking good from the outside, but they actually are good from the inside from a health perspective.
Right, you build from the inside out.
Right.
And so rather than not only being fit, but you're also healthy, and this has been a major problem in the bodybuilding business. They look good on the outside, but when I draw their blood is suffering. There's a lot of disorganization, and the terrain is very much compromised, and it affects the energy value or the energy levels of these athletes, who if they're going on more of a green foods, green drink diet, and building using grasses and stems and leaves, they're going to build the blood, and when they put stress, which translates into piezoelectricity, that's a charge, signals the blood to circulate. Let's say you're doing curls and building the biceps. That energy is then a signal the blood to circulate in the biceps, and what happens then is the red blood cell will go back to its original form and then into a muscle cell. So if you're building good red blood cells, you'll also build muscle cell.
Plus, I guess, you know, if you, all the studies I've done at Harvard, I know I years ago studied where they will take a vegetarian, you know, person, bodybuilder, and you take somebody who's eating a lot of protein, and the excess nitrogen that they're taking in that protein actually sedates that person. It exhausts that person, makes them tired more rapidly. So the endurance level of these athletes is 10 times that of the person who's bulking up on protein. One of the things I think it's really important for people then is to think about if they're going to really want to shape their body like this, what they really want to do is they want to make demands, but they want to make sure the blood is in the healthiest condition to make those demands upon, and they got to have enough alkalinity to get rid of the natural lactic acid that comes from working out. Is that true?
Exactly.
If you don't, what happens?
Well, if you don't, that builds up into the tissues. You have more downtime, more inflammation and irritation. This doesn't happen when you're alkalizing and energizing. Just in your case, where you're putting out all that energy, you don't feel that downtime.
Right.
We have all that recovery to take place. So your exercises become more efficient, and you're able to exercise longer. You're able to build longer without the toxic effect of lactic acid buildup.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I want to talk about this is because a lot of people say, well, you know, health is really nice, but fitness, well, that's where the strength and the power is. And I personally love that sense of power. And years ago, I would go for that. I'd just push myself, and then I'd break down, you know. And so then I became more health-oriented, and so I was healthy. But I see a lot of people that are, quote, healthy, but they don't look healthy because they don't have that vibrancy that comes from strength of being fit. You know, fitness being the capacity to powerfully do something instantaneously with an explosion of strength or energy, and health being all the aspects of the body in balance working at functional efficiency. And you can't have both. Mm-hmm. You got to have health first, obviously. But in the building of muscle, so many people give up their health for fitness because they don't think there's a way to do both. Now, I know there's a great deal of research that's come out recently that's very exciting on what's called static contraction training. And we're going to actually do an interview with these guys. But these scientists basically have shown how to get people to gain up to 25 pounds of muscle mass in 10 weeks. Now, you know, if you could put 10 pounds of, not pounds, but 10 pounds of muscle, mm-hmm. not 10 pounds of fat,
right.
on in a year, that's considered to be quite extraordinary. And people
right.
bulk up and they take creatine and, you know, protein powders to try and do that, and they end up having difficulty doing it. But they're consistently producing. This is considered the breakthrough. And it's called static contraction. And the idea of it, because I want to hear how this works from your perspective, is that you, instead of doing, you know, 12 reps, what you do is you take and you lift a weight and you push, you take the heaviest weight you can hang on to and push not to lock out, but to maximum demand
right.
and hold for 15 seconds. And
okay.
and if you can hold for longer 15 seconds, it's not heavy enough. But 15 seconds and then it starts to come down using every ounce of effort you have. And that's it, you're done. You do one rep. And the growth that they're developing in these athletes, I mean, it's becoming the rage in many circles within the bodybuilding area. Why would something like this work? And how would your, you know, philosophy and your health approach and your products helped people to get maximum results in this kind of area?
Well, it's a great question. With the understanding of the pleomorphism and the ability of a cell to change its form and function, helps us to understand how muscle cells build or how they grow. When you're putting stress on any particular muscle group, you're sending a bioelectrical signal, which signals the blood to create greater circulation to that particular part of the body that's being stressed. So if you're stressing the biceps, you're sending out an electrical charge that signals the blood to create greater circulation. Once the blood is there, the process of the red blood cell then goes through a process known as dedifferentiation. It goes from a red blood cell down to its original form, which is an embryonic cell, and then into a muscle cell. So pleomorphism applies not only to disorganization, as cells go from, let's say, a red blood cell to a bacterial cell, they have the capability of going into a muscle cell.
Right.
So it's very important that we concentrate on the environment, the terrain, and building healthy blood cells by what we eat. So super hydrating with super greens provides an alkaline environment and also those anatomical elements to build good healthy blood cells so that when you're building your muscle and putting stress, which is called piezoelectricity, you're sending out those bioelectrical signals. That'll signal the blood to go to the muscle group, and that process of pleomorphism will take place and build stronger muscle.
Right, that makes sense. And one of the things that probably makes sense based on what I've heard you say also is that in this system, they have done extensive research on about 30,000 bodybuilders, and what they've shown is that there is the more they rest them to a certain extent, the better off they are. Now, there's obviously a point of diminishing returns there, but that they need that rest, and I assume that part of that is because there's so much lactic acid being built up by the maximum stress of a muscle. Is that true?
That's exactly right, and so it's even more important to take colloidal supplements and alkalizing supplements to neutralize those acids so you don't have the toxic effect or the breakdown of those things which you're trying to build, and that's building that muscle.
Right, and you're trying to really truthfully do it at an unnatural level when you're trying to really build huge muscles, more than you really need on a daily basis. And most people that are eating in a natural way on top of it, the combination of those acids in the body really start to break people down. So they may look good, and they may be fit in terms of short-term strength, but they just don't have the endurance because they don't have the health to support it.
So you have to build from the inside out.
That makes total sense. Dr. Young, you are so brilliant, I could talk to you for 5 more hours, but I want to talk to your wife. Because she's going to show us now how the heck that we live this way and really enjoy ourselves, because my experience is willpower never lasts. If people have to do something and deny themselves, no matter how healthy it is, most people are not going to follow through. And what I've been thrilled with is, and I honestly would have been skeptical about, even though I consider myself to be very disciplined, was that I could enjoy these foods. Now, Shelly, coming to your home is what converted me, because I thought, my God, and I brought, you know, as you know, several of my executives with me, and they were out of their minds. This food is really good, Tony. I mean, I could really do this. I mean, this is fabulous. So let's talk about how and the heck do we really start to make this work for people. How do people make this change where they don't feel like, oh my God, I've lost everything? Because when we first went and had our blood tested, Becky and I, at the end, the woman who taught us about what we might want to do to cleanse our body and make our dietary change, I left very excited because I took this green drink. It was amazing. And Becky left depressed because she was saying, oh my God, I'll never be able to eat again. And food is an adventure and food is romance and all those things. She doesn't feel that way now, but she was really scared. So do we have to... Do we have no life? What do we have to do here? What's happening here? You give us the solution, Shelley.
Okay. Becky's actually right. Food is one of our greatest entertainments and pastimes, and we have to be realistic about that. We can take all of the products and the green drink, but we still have to eat. We still have the need to chew, to crunch, to socialize with food. And so what we do is we do it through transition and phasing. You don't make this an overnight, overwhelming process to where you feel like you're not going to have any fun anymore. And the other thing is through education. Many of us have been educated in the wrong way to believe that the only place we can get calcium is from dairy products, or right. The only place we can get protein is from meat. Right. And so through education and through example and through changing our family and cultural traditions, we can come to learn that eating alkaline can taste good, can be fast, and most of all can benefit us so that we can have longer, healthier lives full of more fun.
Well, one of the things you just said that I think is really important is that texture. It's like one of the things I think people have is we're, as a culture, we're conditioned at like hand foods. Most people think of hot dogs and hamburgers, you know, or burritos. But I think one of the great things you've done is you've made these hand foods, and the textures of those things, the feel of those things is so important. What are some things that people can do? Now, first of all, we obviously recommend they drink the green drink, they take the products, because even if people don't make a dietary change, which we absolutely want them to do, they're going to see a significant change. I think, exactly. Dr. Young, what was the percentage change you estimated in your work previously about that?
It's dramatic. It can be as high as 80%.
Wow. But we want 100%, and for some people it's not 80, it might be 50 or 60, so we want to make the dietary change. But what are the places that you would start with people? I watched this tape, you fascinated me, you made me believe that I need to alkalize, I need to energize, and we'll do the products, but where do I start with my diet? What are some simple principles I can begin with here?
Well, first of all, you look at your diet to decide how acid it really is, and after you hear about the science, you realize that, wow, 80 or 90% of what I'm eating is acidic, and that's why I don't feel as good as I used to. So the awareness is paramount. Okay. You have to be aware, you have to take an accounting of how you're feeling, and you have to have the desire to want to feel better. So with that desire, you look at your diet and you make changes first in bread, for instance.
Okay.
Most people are very addicted to sugars and breads.
Okay.
And so you start to back off a yeast bread and go down to like a sprouted wheat tortilla, and you make these transitions over a period of a few weeks.
Right.
And instead of making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you take a sprouted wheat tortilla and you put almond butter on it. And
which is actually really delicious.
Right.
It's better than peanut butter because you're kind of bored with peanut butter, right?
Right. And then all of a sudden you feel like, wow, this isn't that bad. This is actually really good.
Right.
So you make these transitions through a period of time. You can phase off of meat and go to other chewy foods like tofu and raw almonds that have been soaked that give you that crunch and give you that high protein and calcium content.
Right.
So you still feel satisfied and have energy throughout the day. And then you don't feel like you're being deprived of anything. You actually feel like you're giving yourself a gift and supporting yourself.
Especially when you get those textures like the raw almonds. Again, for everybody, that's not cooked almonds, and that's not roasted almonds, and that's not almonds with barbecue on them. But when you take those raw almonds, explain about the plumping processes. I was blown away by how good those are. And I like, you know, I go on a flight to Fiji, you know, it's a 11-hour flight. It's a long flight, and I don't want to eat the junk they have on there. And now I just take my almonds and I take, believe it or not, celery sticks in a little Ziploc, and I love it. But I know that sounds insane. It sounds insane to me, too. But the almonds, really, it didn't sound too insane because I used to like almonds anyway. But explain the plumping process to people and what it does and how do you do it?
The plumping process, I mean, it actually starts the sprouting process of the nut. It pulls oxygen from the water. It plumps the nut, making it a higher water content, which we're always trying to do.
But how do they do that?
The almonds?
Yes.
What they just sitting in the water. They actually have...
So you put them in a bowl of water.
Yeah. And they just plump. They just absorb the water and the oxygen right out of it. They pull it into themselves to start the sprouting process. And so what you'll find is that they'll actually be larger.
Right.
And they almost taste like a water chestnut.
Yeah.
But they're still sweet.
Yeah.
And they're very digestible.
Now, why are those almonds, for example, not considered, saturated fat? You know, why aren't they really a fatty type of food?
Well, one reason is because you're eating them raw. So through a roasting process, you're going to change those fatty acid chains and make them more brittle and less flexible in the body. So when we can look at these foods from our Creator and use them as they are, it makes it quicker, faster, and more efficient for us.
That's great.
They're really there for our support. We just have to have the faith in them as they are, to use them as they are.
What do we do with our kids? They're going to freak out. What has happened to mom?
Kids.
What's happened to dad? They
went
to those Robbins videos or seminars, and now look what's going on.
Yeah, you don't want to come down too hard on anybody with this program, because they'll just sneak across the street for things and keep come home like a Nazi Gestapo type of person who says, we're going to take everything without fun. So what you do with kids is, again, you turn it into amazing. You start offering more help choice at the table, along with pizza, along with macaroni and cheese. You put a big salad, and you crunch on those red bell peppers, and you live by example. Children will watch what their parents or what their caretakers do. And if they can see that their caretakers are taking good care of themselves and having plenty of energy, they'll follow after a little while. The other thing that I have with my children is, I'll allow them to make choices, and I'll wait till they get sick. I'll let them eat as much junk food and candy and sugar as they want, and then I'm there with the solution. There I am, this vegetable soup, they're getting better.
Right.
And I do it by alkalizing, so they make this anchor, this association that, wow, if I eat bad, I don't feel as good, and then when I get sick, if I eat good, I get better. And you do this, bounce them through maybe 6 months to a year of not feeling good and feeling better, and then finally they make the choice themselves to stay on the alkalizing
food. Well, I met your daughter, who's just a bundle in her diet.
Yes,
like,
she is.
She's your inner light example, you know.
Right.
But, you know, she's talked about how, I mean, she wouldn't live any other way, and sure she is. She's got, I don't know how many units at school at Brigham Young University, but she's an outstanding student. Everybody else is burnt out on Saturday, and she's like raring to go. You know, and you just feel her vibrancy.
Yeah. But so, there was a time she was resistant.
Really?
And I would have to say about 4 years ago, she thought we were eccentric, and I don't want to hear about this. Mm-hmm. And she had to go through her own experimentation, like we all do.
But what ultimately conditions us is the pleasure and the energy.
Right.
You get addicted to the good feelings. And,
right.
And if you'll do it long enough, like the 7 to 10 days, you become alkaline, and then you desire these foods, and they become extremely satisfying.
Right.
Now, I know you've created a video on how to cook in the kitchen, but one of the things you've always told me is, I'm not a cook. You know, I don't believe that. Talk about that for a second.
Well, yeah, people who know me, I've always avoided the kitchen and the homemaking thing. I mean, there's so much out in the world to be doing, and I always felt I was in the kitchen slaving over these long roasts that had to be roasted for hours, or a tough sauce that had to be made for a long time. I felt like I was really missing out. So now that I'm in the kitchen, realizing that this is actually healing and helping people to live more vibrant lives, I'm excited to be there. And the three goals that I have is to teach people how to order a type of sauce that had to be made for a long time. I felt like I was really missing out. So now that I'm in the kitchen, realizing that this is actually healing and helping people to live more vibrant lives, I'm excited to be there. And the three goals that I have is to teach people how to make it fast, because we don't want to slow people down. They will not commit to this if it takes more of their time.
Right.
So we have to make it fast. It has to taste good. It has to taste good. And it has to be good for them.
Right.
And that's what we're doing in the video, is showing people how to do that at home.
I really want to recommend that for you, because it'll show you how to make those things happen and or have somebody else make it for you. And again, it's not that complex. One of the things you've called yourself in the past, not a cook, but a food arranger.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right. Well, when we think of the earth, as Robert said, we think of the earth 70% water, 30% matter. That's how we want to look at our plate, and we want to arrange our plate with 70% raw, whole, energizing, alkalizing foods.
Right.
And there's a plethora of wonderful vegetable alkalizing foods. People just have to get acquainted with them. Again, like you say, you never thought you'd love red bell peppers as a snack, and now it's a treat.
It's actually very sweet.
Yeah, very sweet, very sweet. So you put 70% alkalizing foods on your plate, and then maybe 30% warmer, more grounding foods that would stay with you a little bit longer, and that combination makes us arrange a meal so that we stay on the alkaline side of the pH.
Plus, you've also, you know, you're really great at making soups, and soups are so satisfying, because when you're really hungry, if you do that first, it's like, you know, one of the things I do is I grab on a big drink, a green drink, and I drink that before I eat, because what I found is, number one, you don't want to take your digestive juices and dilute them later on anyway.
Right.
and I make sure that I get my water, I make sure I got my nutrients, and then I don't feel so starving, because the minute I drink the green drink, man, if my blood sugar's down because I haven't eaten all day, I do that, it's like, bam, instantaneously, I'm within, you know, half a glass, right. I've changed. So I do that, so then I don't overeat, you know, in any way. Mm-hmm. And then, but the other portion, I think, is you've really done an amazing job, I think, of taking different textures of food, but flavors of the foods. I mean, your flavoring is so important. And I know you made me one of these little hand foods one time, made of one of these wraps.
Right.
I mean, I was out of my mind. And I never would have guessed in a million years. It had avocado in it before. I was like, oh my God, it's too much fat. It was so flavorful. And it had hummus in it. And yes. It had, I think,
sun-dried tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And cucumbers. And just the mixture of it was like better than something I'd had ever before. And that takes no time to make. And you can wrap it up. So between that and the soups and things like that, it's those things you can have around the house that people can instantly heat up or instantly just grab and make happen. And that's a big part of what I guess you're teaching, isn't it?
Right. You can have healthy fast food. It can be healthy.
That's great.
And I'm dreaming of the day when we have, you know, fast food restaurants where you can drive up to the window and get a wrap.
McHealthies.
That's right, McHealthies.
Well, you know, wraps are becoming very popular, although not many of them are too alkaline. But once you know these things, what I've been doing is you go in there and say, you know, I want you to put this and this and this in this wrap for me, and boom, you're ready to go, and you've got something there. And then they're showing up more and more. It's just like, you know, McDonald's has, like, veggie burgers now. I mean, it gives you an idea of how big society has changed, you know. So we're moving more and more to a healthy environment as people begin to understand alkalinity. Right. Hopefully there'll be even more and more choices as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of fear out of food. I meet so many women that are afraid of food because they're so afraid of what it's going to do to their body, who don't understand this alkalizing process. And really, we eat a lot of volume of food. We feast when we eat, and we feast in gratitude and reverence of all the healing elements that are in these foods.
Right.
So it makes it exciting. And the concern for the kids, you know, 1 in 8 children have high blood pressure in the schools today.
I know.
And 2 in 12 have ADD. We're doing something wrong, and it has to start at home and then go to school lunch.
Yeah, and you're also seeing kids today, or I was reading a statistic the other day, 12 pounds heavier than they were 15 years ago.
That's right.
At the same age. 12 pounds. I mean, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
We were lecturing in San Diego, and an elementary school teacher there told me she had had 2 children in her school have heart attacks this year.
At what age group?
At elementary school, so grades 1 through 6. 2 students had heart attacks.
Amazing.
So we've got to make a change. We have to, for the kids.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Let's talk about kids for a second, because one of the things I love about you personally is you are such a mom to the world. You care about people so much, and you have such a generous spirit. You know, it concerns me. I mean, I'm emotional about it when I see these kids, especially these young girls, both, that are living at, you know, Starbucks, and you can see they look like waifs. Their whole bodies are just wilting away. And I mean, I see our kids are systematically being destroyed by marketing. The amount of food that we now offer, instead of a normal sized glass, it's Mr. Big Super Duper Gulp that's, you know, large enough to basically flood your whole system with something your body can't handle. What do we do? What do you see happening with our kids? What's the impact on them? And what do we really do to turn that around from your perspective?
Yeah, from my perspective, I see that there's a lot of pressure on young females, number one, to stay slim. There's so much pressure from society and from boys that if you're not slim and gorgeous, you don't make it. So in this complex problem and the pressure that these young girls have on them, they still need energy. So they'll go to the Starbucks and they'll go to these types of foods, but they won't feed themselves because they don't want to get fat. So this is where I see a real concern, where we need to educate young women that they can eat good foods, that they can stay slim, that they can be fit and be healthy, because these are the mothers that are going to give us our next generation. So it's vital that we target the young women.
Well, right now there's almost the new, I think they call them latte girls or something like that.
Yeah.
And they live at the Starbucks, and it becomes a social environment and emotional, almost cocoon, as well as, you know, going after boys' environment. But you see people just consuming mass amounts of acid on an ongoing basis, and you just see their body wilting away. It's a scary thought. Where do you start? You know, how do you get, you know?
Well, the other thing that we've done with kids is we've rewarded them with sweets a lot. You know, if you get the right answer on this test, you know, you get this treat. Or if you eat all your dinner, I'll give you some dessert. And then we coat their whole meal with sugar before they go to bed, and we wonder why they have to be on antibiotics and why they're overweight and this sort of thing. So we have to sort of change that with children and reward them by just setting down the good, wonderful, wholesome meal and affirming to them, doesn't this feel great? this right. warm bowl of soup. Or we have to be positive about the alkalizing foods so that they pick up on that attitude and be grateful for it.
Sure.
Children know when we're grateful for things and when we appreciate things, so that's a start.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Again, I think the most powerful thing is if you can get them to have the experience. I know one of the things that you told me a long time ago you did is you just suddenly went, oops, the store was out of something.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
So I have almond butter.
We got this almond butter here. I guess we'll have to try it. Then the kids actually liked it, you know.
Right.
And oops, you know.
I'm big at oops.
I think the oops technique is a really useful technique.
Yeah, it works.
Starvation works really well for you to try something new, you know. But
right.
when the new thing it tastes good, then people are willing to do it again. But when they have choices,
right.
you know, I think one of the things you've done in your house, you know, at least from what I've seen, is you've been real good at making sure that there are limited choices at times until they at least try it, you
right.
know, and they make it happen.
Right, and again, it happens over a period of time. I would say it took us a year
right.
to phase milk, bread, meat, and dairy out of the house.
Right.
We still have sugar occasionally, but
sure.
nothing like we used to.
Sure.
And as long as you don't make it a high pressure, as long as you make it an exciting journey,
right.
and everybody's healthy, and nobody has to miss out on any activity because they're sick,
right.
they love those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about women. We talk about girls. Let's talk about women. I read some things that disturb me so much. Just a few weeks ago, there was a big study that was done, and it was on the cover of the New York Times, describing the fact that women who have in their background cancer of the breast cancer, that it's now being promoted on a large scale, that they have double mastectomies as a preventative measure. In other words, they have no cancer in their body, no symptoms of cancer, but because their mother did or their mother and grandmother did and it's in their family, they should remove their breasts. And the worst part about it, I mean, as bad as that is they said, and it's 90% effective. You have a 90%, if you have a double mastectomy, you have a 90% chance of not getting cancer of the breast. I thought, well, how could it be 90%? You have no breasts. I mean, how could it be 90% effective?
Yeah.
What is that about?
Well, again, we're focusing on the fear that is induced from having a family.
That's exactly what
history.
They said. They said it's a mitigator of fear. It's an anxiety mitigator, and that's why the doctor's saying, rather than live with the fear and anxiety, let's just loop them off.
And we come to the solution as, when in doubt, take it out, or when in doubt, take it off, and then we don't have to deal with the problem. And the insurance companies have been a real culprit in this also, because they're much more willing to pay for a hysterectomy than leave the uterus in and work on their uterus, because they know that uterus is still in there, and they may have to cover more insurance on it later. So the insurance companies are much more willing to pay a doctor to just take the whole shebang out, and then they feel like they don't have to worry about it. But if you listen to the science, we're really creating more weakness in the body for acids to settle to that place. We're disturbing lots of lymph tissue when we cut off a woman's breast. And then she's left impaired and deformed, and in my mind, much less of the woman that she should be. And we totally disregard the wisdom of our own bodies when we do things like that.
It's staggering to me, but it's all based out of fear. In my own case, you know, I was told that I had a pituitary tumor when I went in for just a typical blood test that I had to do as part of, you know, my renewal as a pilot. You know, you have to do it every 2 years. And if I had not stuck to my guns, he wanted to cut out, you know, part of my brain, my pituitary gland, you know, connecting my brain. Mm-hmm. And I had to go through 7 or 8 doctors. And when I went to endocrinologist, he wanted to drug me. When I went to a surgeon, he wanted to cut me. And I finally went to one of the top endocrinologists in the country, in the world, one of the founders, really, of the science in modern days, and was one of his final patients. And he said, Tony, he said, you have no symptoms, there's nothing wrong with you, but, you know, just to be safe, we'd rather treat you, because we'd rather be certain that you're not going to have a problem, and we want you to have certainty. And I said, I got certainty. You know, I don't need to cut out a piece of my brain. And I told him what's happened. He said, yes. He said, a baker wants to bake, you know, and a cutter wants to cut, you know, a surgeon wants
to
cut. He said, and I'm an endocrinologist, so I'd like to recommend you take this drug just as a preventative measure, just to be safe, even though you have no symptoms. And because I had so much growth hormone in my body. And years ago, I did have, unbeknownst to me, that's why I grew 10 inches in a year. And so I said, I don't think so. And within less than 6 months, I had another doctor who's a friend of mine, who was the only one who supported me in doing nothing, saying you're totally fine, who pulled out this new article that came out from the FDA describing the drug now was creating cancer, the very drug that was being recommended to me. And all these people were well-meaning. I mean, not only well-meaning, they cared about me. It's why they recommended the surgery or the drugs. But out of a need for certainty, out of a need to not have to worry, we do some unbelievably bizarre things in our culture.
That's
and I can't imagine a man being told that he should loop off his manhood, so to speak, as a preventative measure, and him just going in mass, okay. But we do this to women. It's just staggering to me that as a culture, we've allowed this to occur.
Right.
What do women need to do to be sure they don't have to live in fear? What are some of the steps they can do? Because women are told as they enter their 40s and 50s, you know, they have concerns, and you know, there's more fear entering that stage of life for women based upon some of what is promoted in the culture, and I'm sure in a positive way, or attempting to be positive to protect them. But what do women really need to know? What do they need to really do?
Well, I think an awareness and a new interest in taking care of ourselves is paramount. And if a woman understands herself in a holistic sense, that every organ is there for a reason, and even after having children, that uterus and ovaries is very valuable and has to do with bone mass and hormonal development through their menopausal years. If they can value themselves and become what I call very stingy with their organs and with their body parts,
not giving them up,
and realize that every part mm-hmm. helps the other, and look at ourselves holistically and treat that bloodstream as a tissue, as a flowing tissue that affects every other part of the body. If we give them the education and the rights to take care of themselves and the knowledge, then they have the power to stay healthy all throughout their lives.
And they can stick to it when someone else is going through their training and doing what they're trying to do to help. Again, no one's trying to hurt anybody here.
Right.
But we just, as a culture, we used to give women when they were pregnant, we used to give them, what was the drug? Thalidomide.
Right.
You know, and we did it for,
find out what, later.
For 20, 30, 30,000 mothers, I guess, at the stage initially, or I guess 20 years, excuse me.
Yeah.
And now we have these thalidomide babies, you know, that grew with, you know, arms coming out of where an ear is supposed to be and holes in their throats and everything else. And so just because something is believed doesn't mean it is correct.
Right.
And we unfortunately found out years later, you know, bloodletting was the way that, you know, you used to try and deal with a virus or a challenge at one stage in medical history a long, long time ago. So I think it's real important that people use their own common sense. You know, that's part of what we're hoping will happen. So as long as you're talking about women, one of the big things that women are concerned about is calcium, you know, because they're all told that your bones are going to break down, you're going to get osteoporosis.
Right.
And so what a lot of them do is they're out there trying to find drinking milk or taking in dairy products or doing things that actually...
taking Tums.
Yeah, you know, doing anything they can to try and get some calcium in their system.
Right.
So should they be worried about it? And if so, what should they do?
Well, they should be concerned about it, but there's some great solutions that they're probably not aware of, which are all natural and which are all around them. It's not real common knowledge that all of the green leafy vegetables are very high in calcium. It hasn't been taught. And so the women have to realize if they're getting their greens and getting their salads and eating avocados, that they are getting the calcium they need without the high protein animal sources that would leach calcium from the bone that would cause the osteoporosis. So it's sort of a dichotomy here when a woman is thinking, you know, I need protein and calcium from animal sources so that I won't break down, when really the acidity level goes so high that that's when they start breaking down.
Because as they take in all of those acid foods, their body then pulls the calcium as a buffer to deal with the acid. So they're actually, it's not only a self-defeating process, it actually accelerates the breakdown, doesn't it?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So as soon as they realize and are re-educated that they can get calcium from tofu or raw almonds or all of the greens or vegetables, broccoli has a very high count of calcium.
Yes.
Then the fear dispels, the weight comes off, they feel taken care of, they feel nurtured, they feel like they're handling their own health situation, and they're vibrant.
Well, you just brought up another point, too, which is so often these people are working so hard also to lose weight.
Yeah.
But they're creating so much acid in their body, the body's trying to hang on to that fat if their genetic tendency is to do that, to protect, to buffer against that acid. So here they are trying to pour on this calcium and maybe going and working out really hard, because that's typical. I hear a lot of women, they're out there, they're on the Stairmaster, they're pushing, and they're over-exercising, actually, because they have so much acid in their body already from their diet. And they're trying to build the calcium, and everything is just breaking down. And they say, well, I guess I'm getting older, I'm aging.
Right.
You know, it's an amazing dichotomy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the women's products, because one of the things that really sold me on your company and on your products specifically was, first, myself. Second of all, as you know, I have a tremendous executive team at Robbins Research, of which it's dominated by women. I'm one of the token males on the team. There's only one or two of us, three of us, I guess, total, that are male. And I have powerful women that are in their 40s and 50s who just kick butt. I mean, they run the show.
Right.
But they, as they've gone through the natural process of aging, they have had the change of life, some of them, and they've had flashes, you know, and so forth, hot flashes. And one of the greatest things is I'd been using your product for about 6 months, I guess, And I came to the meeting one day and I saw everybody with a big bottle of green drink. And I said, wow, is everybody's really hooked on this now? And they say, yeah, we got, because I got them all to go do blood tests so they'd be convinced to see what really worked here. This wasn't just feeling good for the moment.
Right.
And I said, why did you continue with it? And everybody gave different reasons, but two of the women said, because my hot flashes disappeared. And I asked them, you know, from green drinking the green drink? They said, well, the green drink, but also I take the women's pack. What is the women's pack and why does it seem to have such a dramatic effect on women's hormones and so forth?
Yeah, well, again, we call it a target product, which means a balancing act for a certain area of the body, the female reproduction. And this product is formulated with a synergy. There's synergism in all of these herbs and components of the product that actually are better than the sum of their parts. And they also have the nucleic acids, which drive those healthy and curative properties of the herbs right to the female organs.
Wow.
So it's a real balancing act, and that's why they receive benefit from the symptomologies that they're having, because even an article that I read just lately said that women with PMS and with hot flashes are taking antacids and receiving benefit. And again, all of these symptomologies that women are experiencing are just an indicator that they're too acidic.
Right.
So this product targets that area.
Well, again, as we talked earlier, you know, acid is what really puts the cavity in here. It's not the sugar. It's the acid from the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the acid that destroys marble or destroys your insides. And it's the acid that's going to go to whatever your weakest link is, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was one of the questions I had. If I want to start now and I say, okay, I'm willing to do the following. It makes sense to me that I got to alkalize and energize. So I'm willing to look at my diet and say, I want to make 70 or 80% of it more salaged vegetables. And I'll have a small piece of fish on the side if I'm going to have that. Or I'll have a small amount of pasta, not a giant pasta and a token vegetable, right? So I'm willing to do that, you know, because I won't feel hungry. And I'm willing to drink this green drink. That sounds really great. I'll put some pH in the water. I don't have to measure the pH of the water. Just put those pH drops in, put some green drink in, and I'm ready to rock and roll. But now, what products, you know, how do I know what products I might need to target? You know, if I don't have a blood test, in my case I did, but not everybody's going to be able to go have a blood test, of this type anyway, where they can see their live blood. How do I know if I need a woman's product, a men's product, a Z-Link product, an OrthoPack? I mean, how do I know what I need?
Well, most people understand that they have weaknesses in their body. They'll either understand it through their family history, if there's a predisposition there, which also comes through, you know, through their diets and their lifestyles. Or they'll just know inherently, you know, I have lung weakness, I get bronchitis every year, you know, in the winter. And so those are the areas that you want to target, because as Dr. Young teaches, the acids settle to the weakest part of the body. If there's been an injury, so to speak, if you've blown out your knee or you've had a hip injury, that's where acids will settle. And so that's where you try to target with products like Lung Plus, or if you have a predisposition for blood sugar problems or diabetes in your family, you're going to want to target with a Pancreas Plus.
Right.
Everybody should detox their liver at least once or twice a year, so you're going to want to target that filter of your body and help it along with Liver Plus. Adrenal. Everybody that I have ever seen under the microscope has some level of adrenal exhaustion that's living in the United States. But when you came to us, there was adrenal exhaustion. Not anymore.
I've
seen that all clear up in you, but adrenal exhaustion is rampant. And so the Adrenal Thenate product or the Adrenal Plus product is going to be the one to support those.
And I want to talk about that because my adrenal glands I pretty much have lived on for a good portion of my life. I've had my chiropractors travel with me, as I told you, and tested me, and my adrenals were always out. Now they're always solid. I mean, I haven't had one time in the last 10 months where they weren't solid since I've done this. But I've had chiropractors in the past, and I've had nutritionists give me adrenaline or various forms of adrenal supplementation, and it would work for a moment, but it wouldn't last. I mean, by the end of the day, I was gone. This product, it's solid 24 hours a day for me. I don't even think about it. I have no question that my adrenal glands are solid as a rock now, and I can go deliver, and I don't feel that loss of reserves. Why is this product so potent? I mean, what makes it so effective? Why am I getting so much more benefit from it?
Well, I would believe that it's partly because of the target product that you're giving the organs some balance and some port, and then on the other side of that, you're alkalizing.
Okay.
So you're rebuilding and you're regenerating. We've talked about regeneration and redifferentiation today. You're actually building your adrenal glands on your own. So you shouldn't have to use a target product your entire life. You really shouldn't.
Just for a short period of time.
Just to build it back up.
Yeah, it's based on bioelectricity. Because of the charge of the material that's on that particular product, whether it's the men's formula or the women's formula, it's driven right to those particular organs specifically because of that particular frequency.
All right, we talked about that before, so that's why the product is really being used and absorbed. It's getting to where it really needs it to go, described in the radioactive tracer
studies. It's kind of like the herbs and the vitamins and minerals hop on a bus, and the bus drives specifically and has a sign up there, liver, and so it goes right to the liver. Okay, so it's very easy to help support that organ, but these targeted products are supportive.
I see. That makes sense. What's it like living with this guy? With Dr. Health here, Mr. Health.
It's never a dull moment. Rob's a great messenger, and he's very much like yourself as far as being able to think about things and project them out in a great way to help save mankind. He's a visionary. And much of his success comes in his eureka experiences of discovery and knowledge. And then, again, his heart is to share this with the world. Both Robert and I have a real hard time seeing anybody suffer. Mm-hmm. And so our mission is to get rid of the suffering and give people back their license to eat and to feel well about themselves, to have vibrant lives, energy, all of it. That's what we want.
Well, you're both such radiant examples of what it is you teach. I mean, you really do walk your talk. Mm-hmm. And also, I have to say for people listening or watching that I've sent you all kinds of people with just about every kind of challenge I can imagine, from genetic challenges to lifestyle challenges. Mm-hmm. And you've never turned anybody down, whether they could support it or not. B, they've all felt loved and cared for by you. And C, mm-hmm. I've seen dramatic changes to a man, to a woman, who you've worked with, and I've worked, sent some pretty dramatic examples to you. So I'm so grateful to you, and that's why I really wanted to do this session with you. I want the world to know more about who you guys are, and I know that's going to happen whether I'm around or not, but I'd really like to get you out to a larger base of people. So I hope those watching have had a taste, so to speak, of just what a rich level of understanding you have and caring you have and science you have that can vibrantly change the quality of their health. And I'd like to maybe ask you, Dr. Young, maybe to complete our talk together I want to say with Shelley, we've only had a short time with you here because we've talked so long to Dr. Young, but I want to make sure, please get her video because you'll get a chance to have her in detail show you how to make eating enjoyable, entertaining, and fun.
Right.
And also, I think, get a great deal of her additional wisdom because I could have done this interview with her by herself for the entire time because her level of knowledge is extraordinary.
That's true.
But let me just ask you, Dr. Young, maybe, since you were kind of the founder of this science, obviously, or this new understanding of biology to a great extent, What message are you really trying to put out to people? I mean, what is your life's real message? I mean, if we're trying to encapsulate all this, what do you want people to really know and feel and experience?
Well, I want them to know that there is hope, and there is a chance for them to have vibrant, radiant health, and that it's not always found in the places they think it's going to be found. And I just am so profound to be part of an opportunity to share a message that is so incredible, to be part of that and to share that to the world and just to be part of your life, to be part of those who you have sent, to empower them, not to treat them, but to empower them with knowledge and information that they can do this on their own, that they have the power from within to change from the inside out what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, by making shifts within their lifestyles, within their diet, within their thinking processes that can improve the quality of their life to a level that they've never, ever experienced. Or maybe they've experienced, but it's been lost. They can have it back. They can have their life back. And so when they come to the golden years, they don't have to experience that in a rest home. They can experience that on the beaches of the world or some exotic place where they want to be to have or share with their loved ones for a long, long time. So we share maybe an improved, which I perceive is an improved lifestyle, a quality and a quantity of life that can be achieved through alkalizing and energizing and receiving what I think is most important, that inner light, which is balance.
Wow. I get chills. You certainly are clear about what your mission is. Let me ask you a final question.
All right.
How do you want to be remembered? When your life's work is done, what do you want to be thought of or remembered or said about Dr. Robert Young?
Well, that I cared, that I loved, and that I respected my Creator who's empowered me to help my brothers and sisters who I care for as well. This isn't about money. This is about love. It's about caring and sharing and lifting people up. and making all of us enjoy what we are destined to enjoy, a better life, a better quality and quantity of life. We're all dying too prematurely. We're dying with diseases that are based upon lifestyles, and I would just like to be remembered as one that truly cared and wanted to share this information which I've received from my Creator.
That's awesome. I love you both. You're just extraordinary souls.
And we love you.
Thrilled we got it's mutual.
Share this
very
time
much.
Together. And I'm thrilled that we got to share it with an audience of people whose lives can now be changed too because of the hard work you've put in and your openness to your own guidance, both of you. And I really feel blessed to have you in my life. You made a huge difference in my life. I'm thrilled we're friends, and I'm also thrilled you two have each other because you're such an incredible synergy. You really, together, are such a force for good. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be half the man without her.
I love you guys.
All right.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope this has stimulated you. I hope this has created more questions for you. A lot of answers, but if it created more questions, that's a good sign of teaching. Because ultimately what we really want is to have you become the questioner, for you to do the pursuit of your own knowledge, not just to accept what anybody says. But I hope that you had your common sense hat on here and you listened from it, and that you'll now find a way to really take your life to the next level of quality and to really hopefully spread that message to many others. If you like information about Dr. Young, or if you'd like to have information about any of his works or his products and so forth, you can contact us at Robbins Research at 1-800-898-TONY, as corny as that sounds. It's easy to remember, 1-800-898-TONY, and talk to one of our account representatives and they can connect you to Dr. Young or his products. And also, I highly recommend if you're in an area where it's available to have one of these blood tests so you get a chance to actually see what's going on in your blood. That's certainly not a necessity, but it's a wonderful additional asset, especially if there's any skepticism left in you, because the blood doesn't lie. The river of life, life and death is found in the blood. And this is really a chance for you to revitalize yourself, as Dr. Young has said, from the inside out. Make sure you take advantage of this. Take some action and live with passion. God bless.